B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walt it, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
It's 98.5 Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich, 604. Town Fair Tire Studios. By the way, somebody asked me, could you please tomorrow morning start the show with?
Ryan is dead!
We have not busted that out in a while. Probably one of the all-time worst acting performances in any TV show or movie ever. The People versus O.J. Simpson. You had, who's the guy? Cuba Gooding Jr. as O.J. Simpson. You had, the dude from Friends, David Schwimmer.
Juice.
Come on, yeah. Juice. Was he supposed to be one of the Kardashians, like the dad, I think?
Who?
Was he Robert?
Lawyer, right?
Was he Robert Kardashian? Who was John Travolta with the bad hair in that? I forget, but maybe. But the guy who stepped in and was Ron Goldman was the worst actor, I think, in the history of television. He came in with this like giant over-the-top mustache that looked like it was about to fall off his face, like in the makeup department. And he made these like contorted like motions, like completely like squished his face around when he would go,
Ron is dead.
Oh, Travolta was Robert Shapiro. Okay. Then I forget who the hell, what's his name was supposed to be, David Schwimmer, but one of the all-time most...
It was Robert Kardashian.
Okay, it was Robert Kardashian. Yeah. Okay. One of the worst, awesomely bad television shows in the history of TV that was must-watch TV. It was so bad, but somebody was asking me about that, and I completely forgot.
It's like Ron is a footnote.
Yes, that is the truth. By the way, the Degenerate Special, Bankroll Boys... Are we like 4-for-4 for the last like 4 weeks, I think?
I think the last one we lost was the Bryant game at the beginning of the season.
Told you guys not to do that.
I'm telling you.
That was like Christmas time.
That was against Iowa. I remember that, yeah.
Dude, the Degenerate Special has been on. I don't even remember what my bet was. I just know that
$200. I think you're up, I want to say, maybe $600.
On the racist colonels. That's right.
That's right. The racist, toothless colonels of Western Kentucky ended up winning yesterday. And I'd completely forgotten what I bet. I just know that a bunch of people start tweeting, hey, dude, the Degenerate Special ended up hitting. And sure enough.
So we gave out, I gave out Delaware, and Dan's like, no, they crushed. And then I gave out Hofstra. And they won as well. So yesterday, 3-0.
Excellent. Good. 3-0 for the stuff you plugged in the show.
Yes.
You've been on like Grand Canyon and they've paid off. It's impressive.
So listen, Dan bets Elon and like these schools you have no clue about.
God.
Yeah. He hits. I don't know. He's got that insight.
Yeah. It's something weird. And what's funny is that he almost seems to immediately like know exactly. Okay, well, I know what's going on. Like, I don't know who his inside sources are or anything. But I mean, he has been making me money.
That game, they won by like 20.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, it wasn't even a close
game.
What
was the I don't even know what the spread was.
It was like two.
It was like 2 points. So there you go. The Degenerate Special has been hitting. And I forgot what I bet on for the Fury Wild.
I
think I just put like 50 on it being a draw,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, a draw. There you go.
Because the money was really good.
1,700.
Yeah, plus 1,700. So if you bet $50, that's not a bad payday.
$850 if you hit.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, $50 gets you $850.
Jeez, not bad.
I know.
For a draw. I mean, but then again, I mean, who really thinks it's going to be a draw?
I know Tyson Fury said he's going to knock out Wilder in the second round.
That's not going to happen. I feel very safe. That's not going to happen.
I'm looking forward to that fight. I'm trying to think if that's the first boxing fight that I've really... Like I'm counting down the days. Like, this has been like something I've looked
like
forward
the
to.
The McGregor stuff was good. That exhibition, I thought, was a countdown. But it was like a real fight, though.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't wait for that, the McGregor-Floyd Mayweather.
But that, to me, was more the spectacle. And the... It ended up being worth it.
I hated how the ref stopped the fight.
Sure.
And it went under.
Sure. Like, you thought it was going to go the distance.
Well, it was rigged.
It was only going to last as long as Mayweather wanted it to last.
And that's when I learned that if you bet totals, like, for instance, if it says 5.5 rounds and it gets into the sixth, like, you think you win? No. It needs to go, like, it has to go, like, halfway through the net. Like, it actually has to go by time, not so much by rounds. So when it went under the total rounds.
Yeah.
And I thought because, you know, it was in the sixth round, I was going to win. Nope. It didn't get past the whatever 230 mark.
And you call yourself a bankroll boy.
Listen, I learned the hard way. I don't think anyone else knew either.
All right. Speaking of the bankroll boys, or at least like, not even bankroll boys, but another crew you're a member of, the Callen crew. Did you guys roll deep last night?
Dude.
You said the stories we heard before the show,
it
Rich.
It was better than we even discussed.
Yeah.
Rolled into the stockyard. Andy Wong's like, hey, you know, give me a kiss, you know. Give him a kiss on both sides of his cheeks. And then Jay Stu's like, hey. And he started drinking. Yep. We're waiting on Sarge, of course.
Oh, hang on. So everyone was there but Sarge?
So, yeah, he rolls in late. Like, hey.
What does he have to do that's so important?
I think he was working a trivia event.
Of course he was.
Does he get paid for those trivia nights?
He told me he did last night. I'll tell you off the air what he got. Yeah, and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, guys, you know, your table's ready. And they got us a table, and we ordered everything on the menu.
Everything at the Stockyards?
So, yes. So by the time we were done with our appetizers, it was like, what do you want for a meal? And I'm like, oh, no. yeah, we got these bowls of clam chowder, calamari, steak and cheese, like bites, oysters. Oh, dude, we ate like everything before. So once that finally happened, it was like, do you want dinner? We got prime rib. And then we got ice cream.
Okay. Andy Wong. Yeah,
that was kind of a throwaway, the ice cream at the end.
So I understand that's there's a lot of food there. You're a big guy, obviously. Andy Wong, not a big guy.
No.
Sarge, not a big guy. Jay Stu, he's a tall guy. I guess he's kind of got a little bit of the Starbelly Sneetch thing going on, so maybe you could get
a little bit of that. He could eat a steak, though. I think he got an 18-ouncer yesterday.
That's a hell of a reference. I don't know how many people actually got that. I just want you to know, give you a nod, that was creative, and that was really, really good. Joe would never understand
but if you get it, I nailed it.
You did. You totally stuck the landing on that one.
So, but how do you, like, how much food is left over?
Nothing. Nothing. We ate everything.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we got three prime ribs, and Jay Stu got an 18-ounce steak, and we ate it all. We got lobster mac and cheese, creamy spinach, Brussels sprouts. We had to get some green on the table.
Brussels sprouts.
Where'd you guys? So you said it
was that, like, that back room area.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You don't want anyone of the public around. I mean, it's, come on. It's, you can't eat when you're trying to get autographs and, you know, pictures. So did you extend the evening after that?
We stayed until 11 o'clock.
To go anywhere else after?
No, we know. I couldn't walk. Literally could not walk out.
I saw you struggling up the stairs.
When I woke up this morning, I was like, oh my God. Still feeling it, man. Still feeling. But the thing was, we were done. And he goes, let's get dessert. And we're like, oh, I don't know, man. And then all of a sudden we got cheesecake, creme brulee.
Oh, God.
Ice cream.
That ice cream.
Like, I don't know what else.
I can see.
I'm like, stop the fight.
Sammy Davis Jr. in the back room. More cheesecake.
Like, do you guys ever eat so much that you start swearing? Follow me on this. Like, where the food comes out, you're like, son of a bitch.
Yes.
And you're like, I guess I gotta eat it.
That's exactly what happened when the dessert came yesterday. I was like, crème brûlée, how am I going to say no to that?
Oh, just plow into pleasure. My goodness gracious. So that's a four-hour dinner?
Yeah, I got
seven
there,
to
I got
to
there at
11?
7, left at 11.
Oh, jeez, man.
Couple ciders. Oh, good night.
So you drove all the way from there, which is about five miles away from here. Yep. You drove from there all the way to the North Shore.
That's right.
Got no sleep, turned around and came back.
Yep.
Attaboy.
God bless you, man.
Slept like a king, though. Oh, you eat like king. I did. I went home, said hi to the wife, and went right to bed.
How do you feel, king?
Right now, I don't feel spectacular.
When you sleep on that much food, do you make noises like I do?
I think it's a very gassy night. Yeah.
There's no avoiding it. Especially when you've been drinking, too, and you're just like, I'm making bad decisions. And then you just fall asleep, and it's like a little orchestra under the sheets.
Yeah. I'm sure your wife, who doesn't take any crap,
I don't remember seeing her last night. She said, hi, I went to bed. That was it.
She probably hit the couch after that.
I was just going to say, your wife is not one to stand for the nonsense.
Let's sit next to that buffalo today. Yeah.
It's like... And somebody just like turned up the horn section. Oh man, I can't even imagine. Oh. Well, God bless you guys. That's awesome. You went out, you rolled deep, you got everything
kings.
On the menu. Just right.
We have plans for WrestleMania.
So now, wait, one little aspect that he's leaving out that I think needs to be discussed here is when Andy, you go out with Andy Wong, you figure he's going to pick up the check, but you're really not sure about that. And I'm like, so what happens at the end of the meal? And Joe's like, well, I tossed the card in. No, you tell
me. I thought we were going to do credit card roulette. Yeah, I thought. Yeah.
Okay.
So I put my card in.
How much is the bill when you order everything on the menu?
Didn't see it.
Okay.
I just threw my
card
in.
But that's not. But the principle of the thing is, even though you think it's being taken care of, you make sure you pull your credit card out, you put it at the center of the table. Worst thing.
So you didn't really think you were going to play credit card roulette. You just did that because
that's
I wanted to be funny.
Sure, sure.
Well, I really wanted to see who would put their card up.
Dude, we did credit.
Wait.
So
listen.
Myself and Sarge put our cards on the table. We just stare at Jay Stu and he did nothing. I'm not throwing him under the bus. I love the guy.
Hang on.
But it was just kind of funny. Yeah,
you got stood up by the Starbelly Sneech? He stiffed you?
He didn't stiff us.
The theory
Jimmy
Stewart's been at so many of these dinners, he just knew that it wouldn't matter, so he didn't pull out the credit card.
And Andy Wong made you sweat. For a minute.
I wanted to. That's the thing is we want to pay. We want to.
You don't want to buy everything in the menu because that's got to be.
No, I'll pay for one-fourth of it. I'll pay for anybody's.
Everything on the menu, I'm thinking.
It had to be like a $500 or $600, maybe more.
I was thinking like $700. Because they have steaks and stuff there. Yeah, over, or, yes. I mean, that's a pretty good restaurant.
Ribs, yep. You know?
Right. So I mean, that's probably like a seven, and then the drinks. I mean,
drinks,
if you guys
every
drink
appetizer
all night,
you can think of,
drinks
every dessert.
Tip. That's you might hit near a grand if you everything
probably.
In the menu.
And we've done that before. Oh yeah,
man. I just want to watch you guys. I just want to go in and just observe.
That's what I was saying. They're going to SummerSlam. I'm like,
SummerSlam,
I want to see that. I want to be. You've experienced this. I have not experienced this. I just want to go.
See,
I just want to watch.
My dream has always been to go into Taco Bell and order everything on the menu and sit down and just see if I can do it.
Because
I think I could. I think that's the one restaurant where I could go in and say, I'll take one of each, and I'd actually be able to eat everything on the menu. It would take me a little bit. And I'd enjoy it, but I think Taco Bell might be the one place where I could do that.
And then you'd have to call in the next day.
Right. Call in. I'll play hurt, baby. As I said, it'll sound like the, Mannheim Steamroller Orchestra over here. It's the only thing. Playing some Christmas tunes out of my body parts. All right. Well, 617-779-0985. What a weird day yesterday. We got to get to David Ortiz and some of the – I mean, that's – David, I thought we had something in Super Bowl week. I thought you and me had an understanding. He's gone all weird on us. We'll get to some of the audio for that and also the more fallout from the Houston Astros thing.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tree Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, Fred, too much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five Sports Hub, David Ortiz, you confuse me. So, a few weeks ago when I got to sit down with David Ortiz at Super Bowl week, first of all, the first thing you notice is that David looks great. I mean, like, you wouldn't in a million years think this guy was shot point-blank range less than a year ago. I mean, he looks unbelievable, and you saw it yesterday as well. What up, Mass Jen? But something was different when I spoke with him. So, when I asked him about Tom Brady, his reaction was, pay the guy. He kept saying over and over, pay the guy. You know, I totally expected that answer, seeing that David himself was always Mr. Hey, you got to pay me, you know, especially in his later years when he was doing, like, you know, contract by contract. But then I asked him about Mookie Betts, and he shockingly told me that the team had to trade him. And that was, huh? Where did that come from? Right after he just told me how you need to pay Tom Brady, all of a sudden you got the Mookie Betts conversation, and it was a completely different tone. And then I started to get this feeling that this wasn't Big Poppy the player anymore. This was Big Poppy, the Red Sox advocate, and his loyalties now are to ownership as opposed to the players that he used to play with or guys who are playing now. So when Ortiz arrived at camp yesterday, I wondered, hey, had any of that attitude changed?
They won without me. So I'm not saying that Mookie is not a big piece of what we are here, but, you know, once that happened, you got to move on. So, you know, I was part of this ball club in 2016, 2018, we won. It takes time to replace that, but this organization I know is good at that, at replacing things and moving forward.
Holy moly. What's even weirder is that he went on for another several minutes praising the huge haul that the team got for Mookie. Now, as I've said before, I've got no problem with them trading him. I mean, it's a lot of money, so I understand why you would do that. But don't try to sell me that what they got back was this treasure trove, because that's completely disingenuous. But then, when things really went next level, was when Ortiz started talking about baseball commissioner Rob Manfred. And that's when it got weird.
To be honest with you, I don't agree with him getting all the heat. Reality is, not one player had come through and be like, hey, it was me who started this up. You know what I'm saying? All the commissioner can do is just have a team investigating what's going on. The commissioner, Manfred, has been legit since day one. So let him do his job, you know. He's going to do what is best for the game. He's good at making decisions, but people need to chillax. People need to let him do his job. Players need to let him do what he thinks is better for the game and for everything else, you know what I'm saying? And stop putting him on the spot and telling him what to do.
All right, Poppy might be in Fort Myers, but he left his catchphrases in 2004.
People need to chillax.
Yeah.
Please.
It does sound funny.
Please.
Yo, he's legit, yo. Everyone just, you know what? I need some theme music. You got any Hammer?
People need to chillax.
That's not even like early 2000s. Like, we're going early 90s. Yo, chillax, bro. I mean, I know he's a company man. Okay, but...
Could you be a little less obvious?
Yeah, right.
Just throw us off the scent a little.
I don't even agree with the company man on that one, though. I don't know if I ever told you. You got to watch Screwball. It's a documentary on Netflix.
I've seen it.
All this leads back to Manny Ramirez and stuff like that. Like, Rob Manfred was, like, in the middle of all that doing sketchy stuff behind the scenes, which makes me think that maybe David Ortiz is trying to be on the good side of Rod Manfred, because, I don't know, Hall of Fame thing's probably coming up soon, right?
Manfred doesn't have anything to do with that.
throwing it out there.
No, if you want to do that, you kiss the ass of the writers. Like what A-Rod has been trying to do for the last three or 4 years. That's what you do if you want to get in the Hall of Fame. Yes. Has nothing to do with Manfred.
I think Dan has the best theory of anyone. Dan,
if he's now a company man, he wants them. First of all, he's trying to clean up after the press conference disaster a couple of days ago by being the good, here comes Poppy. But second of all, and probably most importantly, he's sending a signal to Manfred by patting him on the back. Don't come down hard on the Red Sox.
Absolutely.
Please go easy on the Red Sox.
You nailed it. This is exactly what it sounds like. So if Big Poppy knows that there's something there and he has heard that, hey, man, here's some of the questions they're asking, and it looks like they might actually have something on them. If you're David Ortiz, are you crapping on Rob Manfred right now? No. You are kissing his ass.
Damn good point.
And that clip I just played right there is maybe one-fifth of what he said about Rob Manfred. He might have talked for 3.5-4 straight minutes on how awesome Manfred has been and how people just need to sit back and just...
People need to chillax.
They got
to
chillax when it comes to getting on his backside.
Make it a little less obvious. That's all I'm asking. Just, I understand that your life has changed, and you certainly did a lot for this organization, and Lord knows you've been through a ton in the last year, but there's got to be another way to do this.
See, listening to that, I just thought that he's like, the Red Sox mascot now. Like, he's, basically like, hey! But
that drops him down a peg in my eyes. Seriously.
But to me, it kind of, it sucks, but I mean, it is what it is. And now that I talked to Dan or Dan has this theory, that's more legit than any other thing that's out there.
No, Dan's right.
I mean, if honestly, let's say that, and he's as close as anyone to the Red Sox, and obviously, with ownership, he's got to know whether or not there is something brewing with this team. And we talked about it earlier this week. I mean, they were supposed to have this thing wrapped up, and this week there was supposed to be the judgment and the punishment or whatever they found on him. They were supposed to be released. However, they circled back, and they went and asked several players another question because they apparently found something. I mean, that's the only reason you circle back and ask these guys a second set of questions is because somebody told you something that needed a follow-up, which means there is a nugget, and there's something right now that's hanging over their heads. And, Dan, you nailed it. He right now is kissing Rob Manfred.
But also, so the Red Sox players, every other team is coming out against the Astros. The Red Sox players are the only ones that have not come out and put the hammer down on the Astros players because they know in 2 weeks they could be in the same position.
Well, there's one new Red Sox player that put the hammer down.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. So, all right. So, real quick, we're going to do Joe Murray's headlines. When we get back, so David Ortiz, and that wasn't even the most, I hate to use the term, but it was, that wasn't even the most embarrassing thing that David Ortiz said yesterday. And they said this kills me because everyone likes David Ortiz, but this is weird what he's kind of turned into over the last month or so. He started talking about Mike Fiers, rather, the guy who was the whistleblower in all of this, the one who blew the lid on all of this stuff. And what he said is so out of tune with what everybody else in the league is saying right now that, especially coming from a guy like David Ortiz, where there's been suspicions and questions about some of the things he's been involved in, this is where it got weird. And as you said, John, there's another guy right now, a new guy in the Red Sox, who's also kind of the lone man out, and he dropped a couple bombs yesterday as well. This just keeps on getting better and better and better as it goes. We'll get to that audio right after Joe Murray's headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
Tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
People need to chillax.
Sports What's up? Just quickly before getting into your stuff.
It's a Fred Free Funk Friday. Just a matter of definition, that's all.
I do like Trombone Shorty. I'm a fan.
What I'm saying is
John mentioned it the second it started playing.
We don't hear this kind of music that much on Fridays.
Trombone Shorty, great live show as well. Real quick, I don't get super excited for a lot of TV shows, but the return of Better Call Saul, that's a show, and I always hate when people tell me this, that it unfortunately took a couple seasons to really kick in. And to me, it took like two, and the first two seasons are good, and they're always interesting, but, you know, just not to spoil anything, but there's a character I didn't like in the first couple of seasons. And then once things kind of move on from that, the last two seasons have been unbelievable to the point where the one that just ended, the one that the most recent one, is as good as Breaking Bad. As good as Breaking Bad. And according to all of the people who are involved in this season, this upcoming season starts this weekend of Better Call Saul, everyone says this is the best season yet. And like, apparently this is where you got to start paying stuff off. Because you got to, I mean, there's now, you know how it is with prequels. You'd have to know how you get from point A to point B, because you know where point B is, because that's how Breaking Bad started. And so they really got to start paying off stuff, even though they really started last season. So, I mean, it's one of the better shows on TV right now.
I just think, too, if you want to try it, like the whole Cinnabon Mall stuff, going back in time, sometimes you might get a flash forward in there.
It's great.
It's a very good show.
It might be maybe the best show on TV. Speaking of Breaking Bad, did you see that Aaron Paul is in that new Westworld season 3?
You know who else is in the new season 3 of Westworld?
Marshawn Lynch.
Correct.
I saw that. There's a
scene. I saw the commercial for it. He's wearing that T-shirt. No one will say exactly what his role is in it, but considering what we've seen, the snippets of shows he's been in, he has to rule in this, right?
You would think so. So that show, Westworld, I watched the first two seasons. And I have to be honest, first season was really good. Second season just lost me. It got way too confusing.
Like it at all.
And I was out, as Joe Murray would say.
Out!
However, the trailer came out for the third one. I'm like, all right, dude, you got me back. And they bring Aaron Paul in, and it has nothing to do with Westerns or any crap like that. It just looks like people killing each other in like some RoboCop type city. And I'm all in. And you got Marshawn Lynch, who, of course, one of the most underused guys outside of football. So I can't get enough of Marshawn Lynch. All right, so when things got really weird yesterday, as if it wasn't already weird with him shilling for Rob Manfred, and now we pretty much know why, here's where you start talking about Mike Fiers, the guy who blew the lid off the whole cheating scandal. Big Poppy, does this Fiers fella, does he need to chillax, in your opinion?
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? That's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on?
I know why.
People is not stupid. You know?
It's an obvious answer. You're going to come out against everybody else in the clubhouse while you're still playing with them?
While you're playing
there.
That
seems a career suicide to me.
And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Fiers says he's getting death threats.
Yeah.
You got to think, of all the damage that's being done from this.
Sure.
A lot of people hate this guy. But then again, you know, if you listen to what the players all around baseball are saying right now outside of the Houston Astros, they're all like, yeah, F these guys. We're all in on jumping all over them. So Fiers is loved by, you know, all teams but one, it seems like. And if someone asked him, would you give up your ring if they end up finding these guys and take away? He's like, yeah. I mean, if that's what ends up happening, then sure. If he has me turn the ring, it's not the end of the
world.
Just
real quick, how do you feel about him saying that, though? Like, when you were there, you were part of it, you said nothing, and now you're gone, you got your ring. Like, I don't know.
He knows it's obvious why Fiers didn't say anything at the time. And Ortiz has been in enough locker rooms to know that. If he knew that, say, the 2007 Red Sox were cheating, do you really think he would have said something during that season?
No.
Do you
but
really
I mean,
think David Ortiz
no,
would have gone
I
in front of the media
David
and
Ortiz
said,
would have said anything.
You know, look, our guys are cheating.
But I'm going to go back to
2004, right.
Mitchell report stuff.
Seriously. No one's going to say that. I mean, and Ortiz is smart enough to know that.
Well, it was funny. Jose Canseco, of all people, tweeted this out. He said, Mike Fiers, the truth is never wrong, no matter when you say it. It's never too late for the truth, bruh. He said, Big Poppy, I'm a fan since the first time I met you in Minnesota, but get off this, kid. You made it through the PED era.
Seriously.
Wow. I can't believe Jose Canseco is the voice of reason.
I believe that.
Sure. And he knows, obviously, what it's like to have people say, well, you know, you're being a snitch. You wrote the Juiced book, right?
So, yep.
Well, you mentioned a guy, Jonathan LaCroix, which, by the way, I had no idea he was on the Red Sox. So
they just signed. That was a couple of days ago.
Remember when I got Wall-dicked the other day?
Oh, it was him. That was the guy. Ah, I see. Okay, well. So he's a
many
guy.
Years in the league.
He's a guy.
Many in the Red years. Sox. How many years? Many.
He was on the Athletics in 2018, obviously a rival. To the Astros, and he said he knew the entire time that they were cheating back then.
I knew about that 2 years ago. It was going on. Everybody in baseball, especially in that division that played against them, we were all aware of the Astros doing those things. And it was up to us to, you know, outsmart them, I guess you could say, which is kind of hard when you have a computer program that breaks your signs. You know, we actively changed signs. Almost every pitch we were changing signs. And you had to because they had them. They would relay them to second. They were stealing them from first, too. They had a very intricate system going on. We were well aware of it. And it was a challenge, especially very, very, it was a mental challenge to really overcome that. It's a shame, and I'm glad it came out and it's been brought to light because it needed to. It was getting out of hand. Well, I was with Oakland then, and we had let MLB know, and they had just called and said something. They kind of just said something to them. They didn't go through the whole investigation. It wasn't until fires came out publicly that they went and looked at it really hard.
First of all, I believe all of that. I think that I guarantee you the Astros had been called out before by other teams, and they obviously don't want this to be a story, and it's not until the Athletic ran with that and it became a huge deal and the public knew about it that, of course, it blew up. They knew all this was going on, and they let it happen. They slapped them on the wrist, and they gave these little warnings and so they could cover their own butt. But here's the one thing I want these players to be asked by somebody. Because if you got David Ortiz talking about how you're snitching and you've got this LaCroix talking about how he knew they were cheating 2 years ago, I want you to ask the players, okay, so you knew they were cheating 2 years ago. Who's cheating now?
Yeah.
Give me a list of teams and give me a list of people that you know are cheating. Because that's all we're hearing right now. Well, we knew that for years these guys were doing it. And then you talk about people who are, you know, a lot of these pitchers are coming out saying, well, I mean, there's other teams that are doing, you know, stuff just as bad. Tell us. Come on the record. You know what? Better yet, do a whistleblower type situation where your identity is concealed. And if you really, really know what's going on, then tell them. Then say something now.
It's a good point.
Go ahead and purge it
I'm
while
sure
it's all out
I'm
there.
I'm sure it happens in some way, shape, or form. That's the thing. The Astros are had all the lights shine on them, but I'm sure there are not just one, but 10, 15 other teams that use some variation of this.
And to be quite honest, I'm kind of shocked we haven't heard more about other teams because if the Red Sox
did it, the Yankees were doing it. Okay. It's all.
If I'm a player on the Astros. I mean, I don't know if this is what I would do, but I think it would be human nature to do this, is if you're getting killed to go, all right, you want to come at me? You want to talk trash on me? You want to make it so I can't go up to bat and not fear that I'm going to get a ball to the ribs? Well, I know exactly what the Yankees are doing, and I'll tell you who's in charge of it, and I'll tell you how they do it, and I'll show you tape.
I'd like to see that.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened. That's what I want to happen.
Bregman's just the type of guy to do that too.
I feel like Alex Cora kind of identified that at one point. Oh, they got Carlos Beltran over there. He identified that years ago. My whole thing is this: it's Rob Manfred. Come down on the players. He should have come down on the players. If it came down on the players, it probably would have trickled through all the clubhouses in baseball.
More to your point, LaCroix went on to talk about how Major League Baseball knew that the Dodgers were doing, that the Astros are doing that, and all they did was call the Astros and tell them to stop.
Yeah, cut it out.
And the only reason that all of this blew up is because Fires said something. Major League Baseball was going to let this go and do nothing, and then Fires went public, forcing Major League Baseball to do something.
Just like they said, the Red Sox got that same memo, too. I think Joe Torre sent it around.
And that's the reason for the punishment. We told you to cut the crap, and you didn't.
Yeah, it's just one of those deals where I thought there was going to be shrapnel everywhere after all of this.
Well, it's up to an a-hole like Bregman to do that.
Or you wonder.
That's what I'm saying.
I wonder if they're talking to Alex Cora right now and they're saying, all right, man, we haven't come out with what exactly your punishment is. Tell us everything. and we'll make it a little bit less.
Maybe that's the new information.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. And that might be part of it. And I think, too, is that if they do find that the Red Sox cheated, the only two people that they can punish are the GM and the manager, and both of them are gone from the team because you set that precedent with the Astros. Nobody could take away a couple draft picks. They didn't do that with the Astros, did they?
Yeah, they took away draft
picks. Oh, yeah, they took away a couple. Okay, but sure. Still, who's going to care? Who's going to care? Like, they're going to go, oh, well, you didn't punish them at all. You took away draft picks. Fans of other teams aren't going to care. Other players in the league aren't going to care, especially if they won. It was the year that they won the World Series. Then it's like, I mean, want to talk about people wanting an eye for an eye. Then it's going to get really fun.
I agree. The Astros should start lobbing bombs themselves.
Yes, yes, I agree. Let them do it.
And it would be great for us, but
let it all burn.
When you get pushed to the limit, I mean, the Astros are public enemy number one league-wide. Everybody hates them, except maybe the Red Sox. Everybody hates
just
them. How much do you take before you start firing back? I agree with
you. You start lobbing accusations.
No, sure. Yes.
All of baseball.
Yes.
Shrapnel everywhere. Oh, it's the best thing that's happened to baseball in a long, long time. Oh. Now I actually want to watch it.
Kind of makes you, want it. Well, then you have your first Red Sox-Yankee 4.5-hour Sunday night game, and you're like, oh, that's why I don't watch this game. That's why I don't watch.
And you don't even get Jessica Mendoza. All right, 617-779-0985. We will get to all that in a minute.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Tutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, just real quick before we finish up on some stuff. Nick just handed me a story that, Louis C.K., he's got two shows that are coming to Boston, and he sold both of them out. Where's he playing, Nick? The where? The Wang? The Wilbur?
Orpheum.
Oh, the Orpheum.
Orpheum, right?
Okay, two shows at the Orpheum. That's a lot of people, and I guess it sold out pretty quick. Here's the thing about Louis C.K. I've never found him funny. And I know that he's one of those guys that you should find funny. The people I respect all like Louis C.K. and maybe I've got a bad taste in my mouth because every time we've had him on the show a bunch. Like he's always a dick and not like a lovable one. Like, oh, that's his attitude and stuff like that. No, he's just like he doesn't want to be bothered. And I don't know. Maybe I'll get it. Nick loves the guy. I've never seen anything he's done stand up.
I tried his TV show and I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, like
I never liked it.
Like Louis wasn't good.
I agree.
I thought he was okay, and there was a movie that he acted in that I thought he was pretty good. It was what was that Woody Allen movie about the woman who had all the money and ended up losing it all or something like that? But he was like an actor in it. I thought he did okay, but I never really found him that funny. I heard someone the other day compare him to Bill Burr, and I'm like, are you crazy?
What?
I was like, are you out of your mind?
Jesus.
I'm like, Bill Burr slays. Like, you go see him play, and like he slays. And, of course, he obviously skewers sacred cows, but, I mean, you never see him play a show where people aren't losing the crap. It's like Robert Kelly. Robert Kelly's a guy that you go see in concert, and every time he slays when he's up there. Louis C.K., I don't know. It's just maybe it's... Maybe
I just don't know. Like... We always hear about like these guys, like the SNL guys, they fail, come back, and like sometimes they do okay. Like, I don't know. I'm interested to see what the crowd will be like for him around here.
Well, for Louis C.K.?
Yeah.
Dude, they're going to love him. It sold out. It sold out instantly. They're going to love the guy. They're going to, I mean, he's got a huge fan base and a massive diehard following. And as I said, you like what you like. I just have never found it funny. Someone said, bring back Jay Farrow. You want to talk about a guy that like was surprisingly great. Like, so Jay Farrow was offered to us, and he's the guy who maybe three seasons ago was his last season on Saturday Night Live. He used to do the Obama. He did an amazing Denzel Washington, but he was like, you know, SNL always has one or two elite impressionists. They're not known for creating characters. They're just these guys who can do unbelievable. And Jay Farrell was one of those guys. And we had him up in studio, and he killed, like killed in studio. You know how tough it is to come in studio with people you don't even know and just like kill for an hour? It was one of my favorite hours of radio. Of all people, it was like Jay Farrell. So there's guys like that who are shockingly good. And then there's guys to me like Louis C.K. that everyone says is great. And you end up seeing, you're like, eh, okay.
Blue Jasmine, right?
Blue Jasmine. That's the movie. That's the movie. And Dice was in that too.
Yes.
And Dice Clay was in that. And he was good. Like, Dice was like a pretty decent guy. Dice showed up in that A Star Is Born.
Yeah, he was Lady Gaga's father.
He was good in that.
Bizarre. Yeah. I mean, bizarre just to see him. Remember what he was like? When he was at the top,
good old Mother Goose, remember her?
Okay,
he had Hickory Dickory Dock.
Sure, I mean that was an album that when I was in like middle school was passed around. Like
everybody had this guy out. Yeah.
It was like that and Sam Kinison's "Have You Seen?"
Yeah, that's right.
And it was like, dude, there's swear words on this, and you listen to it, and you're like, ah! So I mean, you know, I essentially grew up. You know, on Dice Rules, and of course, I mean, Have You Seen Me by Sam
But I mean, he just, now that, ever since he went through Ford Fairlane and got blackballed by many people, it's weird where he arrives. Like, oh my God, there he is.
Yeah.
And it just in the strangest places.
It was a smart move to transition to doing these roles because this might have been, 10 years ago, we were given a comedy CD that he had made. We were sent a CD still. It was, you know, so yeah, it was like 10 years ago, right when, you know, they stopped making CDs and they sent it to the station. I remember Fred and I listening to it and going, dude, this is like really weird. He was just an angry guy. Like, we were like, there were no jokes. It was just him being like pissed at the world. And I'm like, all right, man. And so I'm glad he kind of made that switch to, because the comedy wasn't quite where it used to be. And I don't even know if I listened to Dice Rules now if it would still be funny, but when you're like, you know, 11 years old, the Hickory Dickory Dock nursery rhyme stuff.
I just love the way he smoked a cigarette, you know, over his head.
Yeah,
Of course. Real quick, just while we're doing it, Kevin, line two. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how's it going, guys? First of all, I agree with you. Louis C.K., I got a couple buddies. They absolutely love him. I don't think he's that funny, but Bert Kreischer, he's coming to the area February 28th. I'm going to see him. He is absolutely outrageously funny. He slays.
Oh, hell yeah. We had him on a month and a half ago, maybe, to promote the show. Yeah, so we love him. And if he wants to come in studio, he's obviously got an open invitation. Yeah, he kills. I think he's funny.
And he has a show where he goes on with Bill Burr. And if you guys haven't seen that yet, that is absolutely hilarious. They just sit down in a chair, smoke cigars, drink whiskey, and it's hilarious.
No, I haven't seen it yet, but it's something that sounds like I got to watch. Now, Bill Burr's kind of got the golden ticket. Anytime he wants to come in studio, we love Bill Burr.
It's about time. It's been a while.
Yeah. I mean, but he doesn't.
No, he doesn't tour all the time. No, and he lives in L.A. I get it.
No, he tours a lot. But I was about to say, in all fairness, he doesn't need us. The guy's like playing the TD Garden. You know, he's selling tickets. How many nights in a row did he play? The
17 or 18 at the Wilbur, right?
It was like 17 shows in a row.
Yep.
At the Wilbur Theater.
He was here for 2 weeks and he didn't come in.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, because they just said that if he's out doing the shows at night, then he's resting and sleeping in the morning.
He called in to promote it, though, when it first went on sale.
Yes.
And you know what? Having comedians on the phone are never as good as having them in studio.
Agreed.
But all right. So here's what's something you got to hear. 617-779-0985. Right after Joe Murray's headlines, we have a new Brookline 911. Everyone's angry in Brookline with a twist. Right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.